Risk management. Organizations should analyze their IT operations environment, including technology, human resources, and implemented processes to identify threats and vulnerabilities. While identifying the risks, a risk assessment process should quantify the probability of a threat, vulnerability, and financial consequences of such an event. The above criteria of risk assessment should be used to prioritize risk mitigation, actions, and control framework. Risk management in IT operations, as iterated above, has to be a continuous process. And to identify risk, the risk assessment process is a clear-cut underlying guideline for good IT operational management. IT operations risks are also organization operations risk, as IT is just not the backbone, but also is one of the driving factors and business enabler. Nowadays, the operational risk management covers IT operation risk management as a distinct line of risk control self-assessment mechanisms. The key risk indicators in risk management for operations are nothing but probability of threats, the existing vulnerabilities in the system, and the financial consequences of occurrence of such a disaster, catastrophical disaster with regards to cyber threats. The risk categorization, strategic failures. These include improper implementation, failure of supplier, inappropriate definition of requirements, incompatibility with existing application infrastructure, etc. These are basically failure arising of the wrong strategy or improper background verification and checks done while finalizing a strategy. The strategic failures may be silent in nature but have very large impact on the business operations. The design failures. These include inadequate project management, cost and time overruns, programming errors, data migration failures, and etc. Design level failures are one level ahead of the strategic failures, because in strategic failures we are dealing with improper strategy and improper configurations of the strategic designs. Whereas in design failure, it is purely on the architectures of the various infrastructure, application, and data migration architectures which are resulting in some failures. Then there are transition failures, the third one, which is nothing but the inadequate capacity planning, inappropriately defined availability requirements in the service level agreements or OLAs and underpinning contracts, etc. These are basically again a type of strategic failure but occurring whenever there is a transition from one system, existing system, to the new systems. Considerations for risk management mitigation are probability of occurrence, financial reputational impact, regulatory compliance or legal impact, loss of revenue or market share, litigation probability, data recovery expenses, reconstruction expenses. Talking of probability of occurrence for risk mitigation is just like the likelihood of any security incident which might happen or any IT failure which might happen. The probability might be very low, negligible, low, high, very high, to highest probability possible. The probability defines the score of the occurrence or effectiveness of a particular threat. For example, a denial of service kind of an attack to occur on a completely offline system which is not at all integrated to internet is zero or negligible. Whereas the probability of occurrence of denial of service attack, which usually occurs on internet service provider side of a telecom system or a system which is always online, is the highest. Financial or reputational impact for risk mitigation is also very much critical to understand what the particular risk associated with the IT system might lead when it comes to the financial losses to a company. Financial losses are quantifiable and can be calculated. The reputational loss, on the other hand, and the reputational damage which might occur on the brand is non-quantitative in nature and might be very much exponential in nature. The reputational loss scenario or reputational impact scenario has to be very subjective, whereas the financial impact can be quantified and reported into the impact risk register. The regulatory compliance or the legal impact has to be also associated, as we see nowadays various regulations, especially regulations like GDPR, are enforcing huge amount of money as breach of compliances and legal delivery impacts, which is happening across the European Union. There are loss of revenue or the market share arising due to cyber risks or IT related or technology related risks is also huge. If there is an understanding of the market that there is a huge revenue loss arising due to certain market share depreciation values of the particular brand, arising from the reputational damage or financial damage is again quantifiable. The litigation probability is again one of the key risk mitigations understanding to be developed as to how much litigation can arise or legal cases might arise due to usage of certain IT systems. This is highly debatable when we are in a licensing environment, when we are licensed by technical giants like Oracle and Microsoft. Data recovery expenses and the reconstruction expenses are of the some of the expenses which have to be thought through, especially when we are dealing with ransomware kind of attacks, in which the entire data gets corrupted and has to be recovered from the backup sites. The reconstruction of infrastructures going down due to some not maintenance of the infrastructure or IT infrastructure, it has also to be borne in while calculating the risk mitigation. The processes in IT operations include IT strategy, design, transition, and operations. IT strategy, as defined, is on a higher level strategy documents which define the financial implications, return on investment, and the futuristic roadmap of the business strategy. Transition is different from design, because in transition we define how much an existing system has to be transitioned into the new systems. The transitions involve migration standards of data migration, as well as risk mitigation steps involved in failure of any of the systems. Day-to-day operations are also included in the IT operations. IT strategy is always on the higher side of defining the futuristic goals and aligning the IT organization to the business organization. The business teams always focuses on getting requirements from both end users, feedbacks, as well as what is the new thing in the market. Similarly, the IT strategy is also the framework which has to provide key feedback to the IT operations and place the service desk and other prioritizations for prioritizing the services. IT strategy defines the project management office or the PM office of IT to prioritize and pipeline IT related applications, which has to be taken on first or second and third accordingly. The components of IT strategy ideally are financial management, service valuation, portfolio management, and demand management. Financial management would include financial return of investments, what kind of budgeting requirements are required for new IT applications, new IT infrastructure, and new development activities. The service valuation is valuing which kind of service has to be delivered at what level. Similarly, the portfolio management defines the portfolio of the IT strategy as to which is governing and which is defining what kind of defining the portfolios. The demand management, on the other hand, is purely focused on addressing the demands raised by both internal and external customers of IT, that are internal customers mainly the employees and the businesses, and external being the end users. Financial management. Advantages of financial management include assists in decision making, speeds up changes, manages service portfolio, financial compliance and control, operational control, value capture and creation. Financial management within IT strategy is a step ahead in ensuring that we are very well focused and we have the right budgeting in place to achieve the IT strategy. The IT strategy is governed not just by the budgeting but also by the changes in the market. The operational level controls also have to be factored in while defining the financial management of the IT strategy. Service valuation is the mechanism to quantify services which are available to customers and supported by IT operations in financial terms. Combined with service level agreement, the service valuation is the means to a mutual agreement with the business regarding what a service is, what its components are, its cost and worth. The service valuation has two components, these being provisioning value and service value potential. A service value potential exists especially when we are having to deliver the return on investment to the senior management. The senior management will always focus and keep a stress eye on how much spend has been done to infrastructure or to information technology or IT strategy. And senior management does not want dashboards, but also wants a quantifiable service valuation to be run on the investment which the senior management has done on the IT budgeting. Service valuation is the provisioning value, is the actual underlying cost of IT related to provisioning of a service, including all fulfilling elements, tangible and non-tangible. Following are the cost elements: hardware and software licensing cost, annual maintenance fees or AMC contract for both hardware and software, personal management or personal required to hire to support the services, be it skilled and non-skilled and outsourced and in-source both, utilities, data center and other facilities charges. These might include the facility management, the data center requirements, the batteries, the AMCs, the UPS charges and other stuff. It also includes the amount of backup requirement for power grid failures and other stuff. Taxes, capital and interest charges have also to be factored in. And there's a compliance cost which is also to be borne in, especially when we are dealing with high compliance legal matters and litigative environment. Portfolio management provides guidelines for governing investments in service management across an enterprise and managing them for a value. It contains information for all existing services as well as every proposed service in conceptual phase. Portfolio management framework highlights controls which are defined to develop an IT service from conceptual phase to go live phase, then to transition phase, and then into the production environment. Demand management. Demand management processes provides guidelines to understand the business processes. Demand management guidelines also takes into consideration the IT operations involvement in development of services from conceptual stage to go live phase, which involves conceptualization, designing, implementing, testing, system integrating testing, user acceptance testing, production, and finally go live as phases. So there is a transparency of demand of new services in IT operations and the demand is met. The demand management is very key to showcase to the senior management as to how much demands or the requirements have been met by the IT operations of the business. The business will keep on demanding new and new changes with regards to the new and new ventures it is exploring. At the same time, IT strategy should be and IT operations should be in lines to deliver these demands, and for that there should be a process of tracking down and maintaining all these demands in the project charter or a project management life cycle. Service catalog management. In order to establish an accurate IT landscape, it is necessary that IT service catalog is very well defined, it is produced and maintained regularly. Also, the various defined service catalogs should be in a template format which can be replicated for different new requirements and new services which are coming in. The IT landscape is very well secured and very well managed if we have a stringent catalog management process in place. IT service catalog is considered as a repository that provides information on all the services which the IT team will support and will be given by the IT operations. The IT operations framework is defined and has a key component of IT service catalog within the operations framework. The service catalog maintains management processes, provides guidelines to define and manage the service catalog. The service catalog management will not only govern the entire operations or the services which are going to get delivered by the operations, but also as to the accountability and the reliability of different responsibilities and professional staff, as well as not only the in-house staff but also the outsourced vendors. The service catalog management can also be incorporated while defining service level agreements with the existing vendors or the new vendors. A service catalog has two aspects. One is the business service catalog, that which contains details of all IT services delivered to a customer together with relationships with business units and business processes that rely on IT services. Business processes are now getting completely relied on IT services with their automation and with newer age technologies coming in picture. The business service catalog must be a strong feature of the service catalog, as it would showcase the return on investment on any IT infrastructure as a very effective manner. The technical service catalog contains details of all IT services delivered to customer together with his or her relationship with supporting and shared services and relationship to configuration items. The technical service catalog are purely IT services and IT operations which are dealing with customer queries, problems which are arising due to patch management, and other shared services likes of HR and operations. This is nowhere related to business operations or return on investment, but is one of the key features of IT acting as a backbone to the entire business. If IT's technical service catalog is a strong standpoint in the IT landscape, which would help the IT operations or IT organization to showcase its rigidness and its support while the operations of the business is ongoing and no other new business service is coming up. Service catalog contains the following. First is definition of the service which is given. You have to have a crisp definition of which service it is being catered to, who is the receiver of the service, and what is the nature of the service it's getting delivered. The service criticality. Service criticality defines the nature of the service which is getting delivered as to what level of business criticality or operational criticality it has. This can be quantified with the financial terminologies and can be governed by the failure of occurrence of certain services or of these services. Next is a disaster recovery class. Disaster recovery class in a service catalog means what all disaster recovery items of consideration have been taken into consideration when defining the catalog. A DR is the resilience mechanism for maintaining the availability of a particular service. The next part is a service level agreement parameters, or the SLA parameters. SLAs are very critical when we are dealing with multiple vendors, multiple internal teams, or even external teams. The service environment, be it production, testing, UAT, staging, etc., is also a key feature in the service catalog. Service catalog also includes the incident management, problem management, or configuration management group. The service catalog has to be well structured to define the incident management grouping as well as the problem management or configuration management grouping, so that the adequate steps are well decided and well undertaken and the accountability is affixed onto the different departments within the organization. The change and release management group is the group responsible for various changes which would be pushed into the system or the services on an ongoing manner. And the release management group is the final accountable or the sign-off group which would have the signing of authority. Last but not the least is the service owner or can be the service level manager in case of the third party contract. A service owner is the one who owns the entire service of the IT, and the service level manager is the manager who would govern the third party service levels, and the service level agreements have to be signed by the service level manager. Service level management. This process defines the framework to plan, coordinate, draft, agree, monitor and report service attributes used to measure the service quality. It also includes guidelines for ongoing review of service achievements to ensure that the required and the cost justifiable service quality is maintained and improved. It also provides guidelines in developing new or changed services and SLAs to match the business needs and expectations. The service level management is of key importance in IT operations, as the SLAs are not only designed within two different vendors, but there are also OLAs which exist within the organization between two different departments. The OLAs and SLAs have to be managed very effectively so as to affix the accountability and give this right quality of service to the right consumer. The objectives of service level management are to define, document, agree, monitor, measure, report and review the level of IT services. The service level management, as defined earlier, you know, are the SLAs and the management process evolving around the service level agreements to ensure specific and quantifiable targets that are well defined for the IT services. Service level management also ensures that consumers of the service have clear, unambiguous expectations of the levels of services. Also, they are deployed to have proactive measurements to improve the level of services which are getting delivered and which are also getting implemented if the cost is justified. The aspects of SLM framework or service level management framework. Operational level agreements, OLAs, to ensure that the OLAs with other support groups are defined and developed. These OLAs should be in line with SLAs which it supports. Underpinning supplier contract to ensure all underpinning supplier contracts with the vendors or suppliers are well defined and developed. These contracts should be in line with the SLAs which it supports. So as I said, SLAs are with respect to contracts, and operation level agreements are within the support groups within the organization. The options for service level agreements are service-based SLAs, customer-based SLAs, or multi-level SLAs. Service-based SLAs cover attributes for single service across an organization. For example, SLA for providing internet service is 99.9% or uptime of 99.999 services percentage. Customer-based SLAs covers attributes for all services for defined set of customers. Example, SLA for SME customers, smaller medium enterprise customers, would be different from big enterprises or micro customers. The multi-level SLAs can be as per the organizational hierarchy and can vary from department to department as well as organization to organization. Multi-level SLAs are also the SLAs which are included and can be categorized into operational, responses, availability and security attributes. Capacity management. Business capacity management defines the guidelines for translating business need plans into requirements for IT services and supporting the IT infrastructure. The capacity management for services is defining the guidelines for management, control and prediction of end-to-end performance and capacity of live and operational IT service usage and workloads. Business capacity management and service capacity management are entirely totally different from each other. Business capacity management will always have a translation from the business imperatives and IT imperatives, whereas a service capacity management is the efficiency and performance of the service delivery mechanism of an existing operational IT service. The component capacity management is the third type of capacity management, which defines the components, performance and capacity and utilization with each individual components, which includes maybe infrastructure, might be an IT ecosystem, an environment, a particular data variable, or a service level agreement application basically. Produce capacity management guidelines are to produce and maintain capacity plan that reflects the current and future business requirements. The capacity management also guidelines also manage service performance so that it meets or exceeds the agreed performance targets. Diagnosis and resolution of performance and capacity related incidents and problems also part the guidelines of the capacity management. The capacity management assesses the impact of all changes on capacity planning and performance of IT services which are supported by the IT operations. In order to ensure that proactive measures are undertaken to improve the performance of the services which the IT is delivering, wherever it is cost justifiable, has to be ensured by the capacity management guidelines. Availability management. Availability management process has two key elements. One is the proactive activities. This activity or this aspect involves planning, designing and improvement in availability. Reactive activities. This aspect of availability management involves monitoring, measuring, analysis and management of events, incidents, problems and changes resulting into unavailability. Availability is a CIA triad, confidentiality, integrity and availability, and hence its management is critical for both IT operations as well as security operations. The proactiveness and the reactiveness as defined are both needed while dealing in an availability type of scenario.